Welcome, everyone, to episode 385 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going deep on James Harden, who has made some noise lately about wanting out of Houston. So we are going to go look at his preferred contenders for the next team that will maybe acquire him, and then we'll go into some other teams that maybe should be interested or at least have the assets to get involved in trade talks. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. We are also recording this episode live on Locker Room, so if you are on an iOS device, you can download the Locker Room app, come listen live when we record. You can ask us questions, even speak while we're recording. So come hang out, download the Locker Room app on iOS. Joining me today, as always, is a guy who is apparently afraid he has COVID again, Morten Jensen. How's it going?
Well, you know, for being a pawn, I'm okay.
Oh, boy. We'll save our Kyrie slander for the next episode when we will get back into. We have to finish our season preview, but Mort, I mean, this week, really, these James Harden rumors have gone next level. I mean, training camp started. He did not show up on time. He was a little busy with DaBaby or some rapper, Lil Baby. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of how many baby rappers there are these days.
So before we get into that, so normally when I think of like hip hop and rap, and mind you, when I grew up, I was all in on rap. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was my thing. That line of business is always like being tough, you know, in not that vulnerable, like just being, you know, the man. Right. Why is it that the word baby is being implemented so often now, like in rap names? That doesn't make you hard, in my opinion, like, or tough, or everything that they like want to be known as. I don't get it.
My musical knowledge ended in like 2005. I could not answer that question if I wanted to.
That is 5 years, later than mine.
Okay,
so at basically at the turn of the century, I was done. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. So, TLDR, James Harden was hanging out in strip clubs instead of going to training camp, needs to now test negative for COVID 6 times before he's allowed to join the team. And he's made it very clear that he wants out, Mort. I mean, this is multiple reports spanning multiple weeks, but on, I think it was Tuesday, Tim McMahon and Adrian Wojnarowski reported that he is not only open to a trade to the Brooklyn Nets, but he's also to the Philadelphia 76ers or, quote, possibly other contenders. And then Shams Charania of The Athletic 2 days later says he also now has the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat among his preferred trade destinations. So basically any contender in the East other than the Boston Celtics, which we will get into a bit later. But Mort, I guess let's just go down first through his preferred list of contenders. We'll start with Brooklyn, since that's the one he's been tied to the longest. Or, you know, when Woj first started reporting about this, it was clear that, you know, he was really trying to push a move to Brooklyn, a reunion with Kevin Durant. We've talked about Brooklyn all offseason. They have, you know, the Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jarrett Allen can be the centerpiece of a package. You have Torian Prince in there as well, who can be salary filler slash, like, he's still young enough that, you know, he's not a superstar by any means, but he's a productive NBA player.
He's decent.
They got Landry Shamet on the night of the draft. He would not be eligible to be traded in a package yet, but, you know, it doesn't seem like Houston is in any rush to trade Harden. Do you think, like, right, some combination of those players and however many picks they end up having to ship out, is that enough to get James Harden?
So let me put it this way. I actually wrote an article at Forbes where I said if they wanted to get a third guy, they should go after Chris Middleton, and the package should be Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jarrett Allen. And the feedback I got from both camps were like, no, no, which always makes it fair, by the way.
Right.
But so that same package, I did get some positive feedback as well. And people saying, you included, saying that's actually pretty fair for a Chris Middleton type player. Now, that same deal would have to, like you alluded to, consist of multiple first round draft picks because James Harden is not Chris Middleton. He is a lot better. So I think you can't get away with that same type of deal. You will definitely have to include something else, something more. And Landry Shamet is a very, very good option. Yeah, Tyler Johnson, I believe, is there as well. I don't know if that contract is even guaranteed. But they could still get moved. Like, I don't know, in terms of salary matching, you might be better at this than I am. Like, Tyler Johnson's minimum salary, right? But is it guaranteed? And if not, what would he count as in a trade where you had to match salary? Do you know?
I think if he... Let me double check. I don't even think he... Oh, he is signed for them. Good for them. Yeah, I mean, I think he would count. It does on Spotrac, it's not listed. It's listed as fully guaranteed.
Oh, okay. Well, then problem solved. Yeah. So he's a productive 28-year-old guard, so there's something, you know, there to be added to it if it comes to you know, salary matching purposes. Torian Prince is there. You know, there is something there, but it comes down to the draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the kind of draft picks that OKC got for Paul George and afterwards for Russell Westbrook. You know, I think those are basically the blueprints now. If you want to trade for a star, is you basically have to hand over your entire future.
Right.
Now, should Brooklyn do that? If I was Sean Marks, I wouldn't be interested in this whatsoever. But then again, last year I wouldn't have been interested in signing Kyrie Irving either. So there you go. He might think that's, you know, the bee's knees, and good luck to him to acquire Harden if that's the case, and good luck getting those three guys to mesh.
Yeah. I mean, so I think we need to evaluate this from Brooklyn's perspective, from both should they want to, and then do they have the pieces? And I think you said it well, the assets that New Orleans got for Anthony Davis and OKC got for Paul George, even New Orleans for Drew Holiday. Like,
yeah, true.
Unfortunately, that's going to really skew the perspective that a lot of these teams have when they're trying to trade a star, where they're saying, all right, if Drew effing Holiday got us three first-round picks and two first-round pick swaps, that's where we're at. You know, Anthony...
Yeah, at a minimum.
Right,
at a
minimum. Exactly. So, like, you know, Anthony Davis, I think, is the most comparable package just based on where these guys are in the league hierarchy. I love Drew Holiday. Right. He's not a top 10 player. It's just not, or even a top 5 player, which James Harden is, and Anthony Davis is either right there or, you know, on the cusp. So yeah, you're talking, you know, multiple, like three first round picks, probably two first round pick swaps, plus you need a ton of prospects. I mean, it's worth remembering the Lakers had to give up Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. You know, Ingram wasn't what he is now. He broke out in New Orleans, got better in New Orleans, but was still the number two overall pick in his draft class. Lonzo Ball was number two overall pick in his draft class. Like, the Nets just don't have a prospect of that caliber. As much as I really like Caris LeVert and I really like Jared Allen, they don't have the draft pedigree and they don't have the ceiling of a Brandon Ingram or a Lonzo Ball. So, I mean, I think ultimately...
Oh, be careful, because Brooklyn fans will let you know that Caris LeVert is the next best thing after sliced bread.
I really like Caris LeVert, but you're getting... Like, the talent's there, but you're gambling on the health. Like, that is not... Yep. For, I mean, if he's going to be the main piece that you get back from... Because from Houston's perspective, Dinwiddie isn't expiring. There's no guarantee that he's going to stay beyond this year. Jared Allen's going to be a restricted free agent next summer. You're going to have to, you know, pay up to keep him as well. Not that they wouldn't, right, but, you know, it's not like he's going to be on a really great contract for three or four more years. Like, LeVert is the centerpiece of this deal. Can LeVert be the centerpiece of a James Harden deal? Personally, I don't think so, unless they're also willing to give up their entire draft future.
Jeremy Lamb was the first major piece in a No, wait a second. That was actually Kevin Martin, right? Kevin Martin got moved for James Harden, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy Lamb was included, and some people said, "Oh, he's like the long term play. Like that's actually who you trade for. You trade for Jeremy Lamb." Caris LeVert would be the Jeremy Lamb in this scenario, I think. Like, and I like LeVert, like very much like you, but outside of the injuries, we also got to face something else. He's not been efficient over the course of his career. He's been inefficient, and that matters when you're looking at a guy who's what, 26? Yeah, 26. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a 21-year-old. This right. is someone who is in his prime, and in 4 years' time, will be 30. I mean, so yeah, I would argue all the way that the centerpiece here is Jared Allen all the way through, and I totally agree with you. The upside there isn't Brandon Ingram-esque. You know, could Jared Allen make a couple all-defensive teams? Sure. Could he eventually sneak into the All-Star game with, like, step-to-step improvement from year to year? Yes. Could he eventually develop a three-ball? I think so. But in terms of being, you know, an all-around player who, like, Nikola Jokic just produces at an insanely high clip, I don't necessarily think that's where he's projected to go. Mm-hmm. If that's fair. I don't know if that's unfair, but yeah.
I think it's fair. And then you brought up the other point from Brooklyn's perspective of should they even want, you know, they have said they're looking for a third star. I don't know if they said it or it's like, you know, it was reported throughout the off season that they were looking for a third star. Is James Harden that right piece given, you know, his style of play? Will that mesh well with KD and Kyrie, knowing that, you know, Kevin Durant right now is still a mystery box? We haven't seen him play basketball in 18 months almost at this point. Kyrie, we saw play 20 games last year. Like, the Nets don't know what they have in their own guys. Do you really want to add, you know, that one of the highest usage pieces in the NBA to that mix?
No. So I only heard the final 10 seconds of what you said because there was like a 20 to 30 second blackout from your end. But no, I think adding that third piece with that kind of usage rate and, you know, KD and Kyrie for crying out loud, it's too many chefs in a way. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue that talent-wise it wouldn't be attractive. Like, from a pure talent perspective, absolutely. You would have three guys who could create their own shots, who could get into the teeth of the defense, who could draw fouls, who could take shots from the perimeter, who could do a bunch of crazy stuff every single night. That is attractive. The thing is, can you play a cohesive brand of basketball when the playoffs come around playing that way? Because this wouldn't be the Warriors that had a very firm system in place. I mean, one thing is we talk about the talent level at Golden State during their heyday, which was significant, of course. But they had a system. Like, it wasn't just stars that you kind of put together and then they figure it out. No, you ran through a specific coordinated offensive set. You had defensive principles in place. This, with Durant, Irving, and James, would just seem very much like, oh, you know, my turn, your turn kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's something that works for them. So the thing is, Durant is not the problem here. I want to be very, very, you know, straightforward with that. He's the one guy you can actually have playing off the ball. That's why he worked in Golden State. Mm-hmm. When he came in, he was like, okay, you know what? Draymond and Steph are going to be handling the ball. I'm going to be moving off that a little bit more. I'm going to take more spot ups. I'm going to be a cutter. I'm going to play to my strengths as a guy who can really excel off the basketball. And I'll do so while sharing that spotlight with Clay, who's the same guy, and we'll stagger minutes and whatnot. So I'm not worried about Durant. But I am worried about getting two guys in there who likes to dribble around for 20 seconds before launching shots. That's just not a winning strategy.
Yeah. No, I'm right with you. I mean, you know, you could argue, look, the Warriors worked. I mean, they won two titles. They got to a third finals. But Durant seemed objectively miserable the whole time, or for most of it. Like, does he want to go back to that exact style where it is probably just going to be these guys know, having to take turns. I don't know the answer to this question. You know, I'm sure they've been talking behind the scenes a bit, but you know, I think from the Nets' perspective, I could see why they would want to try to flip these, you know, complementary pieces for a third star, especially because, as you know, as we mentioned, this package is losing value by the day. Like when Dinwiddie's contract expires, when Jared Allen becomes a restricted free agent, you know, they don't have the same type of offer that they can give. So do I think they, you know, shop this thing around if it's not for Harden, for someone else at the deadline? Absolutely. But I think from the Nets' perspective, it makes sense to see what, you know, see what Durant looks like, first of all, see how he meshes with Irving and the other guys. And then from the Rockets' perspective, like, they are probably approaching this as, okay, we know the Nets offer is there. It's not going away. Right. We're going to hold out for something better, though. Like, we'll reconsider in a couple months if we have to. But for now, like, we want to see if we can get Ben Simmons out of Philly or, like, Tyler Hero and pieces out of Miami.
Yeah. Hot take. Well, maybe not that big of a hot take. Chris Middleton would be a better fit for Brooklyn than Harden, right?
Yeah, I think so. Just given their needs, absolutely. Or like Rudy Gobert, I think would be an interesting play if Utah is ready to move off of him. You know, that's one where I could see, okay, you want to give up that package for Rudy Gobert without having to include 16 draft picks? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Hmm. They would get so Utah would get their center in Jared Allen.
And they have Derek Favors still.
And they still have Derek Favors. So, and Jared Allen, I'm not saying he's like 80% of Rudy Gobert. Not, of course not. But he might be 50.
Offensively, he's more. I mean,
offensively, yeah, right.
Defensively, he's not anywhere close. But offensively, he's going to give you more. And if your concern from Utah's perspective is, you know, every year we get to the playoffs and it's the Donovan Mitchell show. Like, we need some complimentary scoring. And
Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert.
Yeah. That's where I would be looking if I'm Brooklyn. The Harden thing, I think they should wait. If they're really intent on going after him, they should at least look at other potentially cheaper options.
Oh, God, I like that idea. I might write about that for Forbes and then afterward get slaughtered by Jazz fans.
Good. Better you than me.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the other team, the Philadelphia 76ers, who Mark Stein of the New York Times reported yesterday. As the NBA preseason begins tonight, Philadelphia ranks as the most likely destination when the Rockets eventually reach the point of trading James Harden. He followed up, he said, the Rockets insist for now they will not trade Harden. The Sixers insist for now they will not trade Ben Simmons. But the familiarity between the two, Daryl Morey coming to Philly this offseason, you know, could diffuse any lingering tension, is how Stein framed it. So, I mean, I've been tweeting this all week. Like, my take has not changed from Philly's perspective. I think they would do Ben Simmons for James Harden straight up. I think Houston is asking for Ben Simmons plus, you know, a ton of picks, and then maybe plus some combination of Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, Matisse Thybulle, like Ben Simmons plus a ton, using the AD template as this is our blueprint for what we want. And I think Philly is right to say no right now. What do you think?
Well, you know what I think, because I sent you a DM last week.
You did.
Yeah. Where I just basically said, I'm off. I'm done with it. I don't think the Sixers should trade for James Harden. So I've been changing my tune on that, because beforehand I was like, yes, go for it. Embiid and Harden, that's perfectly awesome. Like, go for it. Here's the thing, though. He keeps alienating teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at 31 years old, he goes to Vegas to, what, show his team up by not having traded him and acting like a 4-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the last thing that Philly needs right now that type of personality?
Yes. Okay. Decidedly yes.
Okay. That matters, by the way. I mean, we need to talk about that as well, because I think that is a subplot that we, as you know, NBA pundits seem to be forgetting a little bit. We're sweeping that under the rug. We're going, oh, well, he's a hard worker. He's a fantastic talent. both of which are true. But at the same time, if you keep alienating teammates, and if you keep being, you know, a prima donna to this extent, what are you good for?
Well, I mean, you're good for 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists a game. Like,
sure. But you know, if teammates around you loathe playing with you, or at least like is indifferent to you, and you're not a natural leader by any stretch, then what? Like, if my point is this, if Joel Embiid and James Harden, if they don't mesh, you have a problem. Like, you have a significant problem on your hands.
Yeah.
And what leads me to think that they won't is the fact that Joel meshes with guys like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler and James Harden, those are not players who are of the same ilk mentally, personality-wise. I have a hard time seeing the fit there, just in terms of like locker room fit, personality-wise. I totally agree with you. They would finally have a playmaker, someone who can hit threes reliably. You know, if we ignore personality, if we ignore like locker room issues and maturity issues, yes, it would be an on-court upgrade. Absolutely. Like, there's no two ways about it, because he would fit the games of Joel Embiid so much more. But these things matter. Like, it's of course important for him to be the perfect sidekick to Joel Embiid, or if Embiid is the sidekick. I don't even know who's the sidekick there. And I question whether he can that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, on-court fit, there is no denying James Harden and Joel Embiid make more basketball sense than Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Anyone right. arguing otherwise is just objectively wrong. But it's not just a 2K game where it's, okay, here's this guy's skill set, here's this guy's skill set, how do they fit? That's the only thing that matters. As you said, personality matters, you know, ego matters. Luckily, from Philly's perspective, they just hire the guy who's overseen James Harden for the last 7 years. So, you know, who has a better sense of everything that comes with having James Harden on your basketball team than Daryl Morey, than the guy who's just spent most of the last decade with him. So I think that gives them a unique advantage in these trade negotiations. You know, just having that sense of, given what I saw in Houston, do I think he can fit with Joel Embiid? I mean, you know, Daryl Morey is still very new to Philadelphia. He's been here a little over a month now. He's still very much getting to know not just Joel and Ben, but like everyone on the team. So, you know, I don't think he's in any real rush to break this thing up. I mean, he and Doc Rivers have both said repeatedly this offseason, we came to Philly because of Ben and Joel. Like, we think we can make something special with these two guys work. They retailored the roster this offseason to add more shooting. You know, I think they really do want to see if they can get back to that, like, 2017-2018 Sixers team that, you know, won 16 straight games at the end of the regular season and, like, looked like a sleeper final team at the time. So, do I think they are married to these guys permanently? No. Unless they show that they can be the top two guys on a title team. But I think they do want to give this thing a chance, at least, and see how they work in Doc's system and see how they work. You know, can Tobias Harris be better now that Al Horford's not there? How good can, you know, like, can Joel and Seth Curry develop what Joel and J.J. Redick once had? I don't think they are in a rush to break this thing up. So, you know, I go back to what I said originally. Like, I do think they would do Ben Simmons for James Harden, which the Rockets are right to turn down. James Harden is a much better player than Ben Simmons. But, you know, I think the Sixers, knowing that Ben Simmons is, what, 7 years younger than James Harden? Yeah. He is under contract for at least, you know, Harden, I think, has two more guaranteed years, and then he's got a player option in 2022-23. Ben Simmons is under contract for 5 years. You have significantly more team control over him. He's really important to what they do defensively too. Like,
I was just about to point that out. He's like 45 times the defender that Harden is, which matters. I mean, people shouldn't just look up their all-around stats and go, oh, that's, you know, because obviously Harden's raw stats are going to blow Ben's out of the water, but there's more to the story than that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Ben was an all defensive player last year for a reason. Like, he is the head of that snake defensively, and having a guy like him when you know you're going to be going, you know, LeBron is at the end of his career, but, or is toward the end of his career, but you've got guys like Giannis and Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, you know, Jimmy Butler to worry about. You're going to need a star wing defender at, or else you're just not going to win a title. Like, you're not, if you can't shut down Jason Tatum, who's going to be in your same division for most likely the next decade, you're screwed. So, you know, you need someone like that. And if you take away Ben Simmons from the Sixers, they don't, like, Tobias Harris is going to do that. Like, Matisse Thybulle is their best bet, but he's just such a question mark offensively.
Right.
You know, Ben Simmons is going to get, he's off the line because of the lack of shooting, which is definitely a big deal. Like, he needs to add that to his game, but it causes the rest of his game to go overlooked sometimes. And it's, you know, Ben Simmons is one of the most versatile defensive players in the NBA. So
no, I agree with you, and I think that's he's already like made that at the age of 24. Now think about how good he could be defensively and when he refines his offense at age 26, 27, during which the Rockets would have him under contract.
Right. Yeah, I think if anything, if they were gonna really seriously pursue a Harden trade, it made more sense when they had, when the Rockets still had Covington, and if you could get, if you could loop in a bigger deal where it was Harden and Covington coming back, then the defensive downgrade that you're losing from Ben Simmons, not that I love Robert Covington, he's not on the same planet defensively as Simmons, but like, he could at least give you some semblance of that versatile wing defender. I just think they would be so exposed without that. So, you know, I'm not going to never say never, especially in this league where, you know, trades can materialize overnight, as we saw with Russell Westbrook and John Wall a few weeks ago. But I just, I don't think the Sixers are in a hurry. Maybe by the trade deadline, if this thing just isn't working at all and like the writing is on the wall and these, you know, you finally say, all right, Ben and Joe just can't work together. That's one thing, but given how adamant Morey and Doc have been this offseason, and, you know, look, what are they going to say, right? They're not going to come out and say, we don't think these guys can work together. We're going to trade one eventually. But the way they talk about them, especially Doc, I mean, he just continues saying it's like, it's not that they can't win, it's that they haven't yet. And we're going to figure out how to make it so we get, we can remove that haven't yet. So I don't know. I don't blame the Sixers if it really is the Rockets. You know, we don't know the details of these talks, and I think Woj was one who reported they haven't really had substantive conversations. I don't blame them if the Rockets are asking for Simmons plus a ton extra, and I don't blame the Rockets for asking for Simmons plus a ton extra. It's like you're going to have to meet in the middle, but I think the Rockets asking price right now is too high for Philly to be willing to say yes.
I would agree.
Do you think, before we move from Philly, do you think there's any package they can assemble that does not include Simmons or Embiid that could get... Nope. there have been people on Sixers Twitter who are like, all right, Tobias Harris and Maxey and Thybulle plus a ton of picks. You just
said it. Sixers Twitter.
I know. I'm with you, though. Look, the Sixers, if they're willing to put Ben Simmons on the table, I think Ben Simmons is the best player who could possibly go. I don't think Boston's putting Tatum on the board. You know, Milwaukee's putting Giannis on the board? Maybe if they think he's leaving, but no otherwise. Mm. So, like, I think Ben Simmons is that prospect that Houston is holding out for. But Philly's going to use that as leverage, too, and say, we're not going to give you 15 picks because we know we are giving you the best player that you can get from any other team.
What fans of all teams have to understand is this is no longer 2004. Remember what Vince Carter was traded for when he was traded to the New Jersey Nets back in the day? Like, in general, generally speaking, when stars were traded, you know, in the early to mid 2000s, it was always just so ridiculously low returns. Like when Iverson went to Denver as well,
mm-hmm.
like teams never capitalized on getting the most out of that talent in terms of a trade return. And I think that has just changed so dramatically, especially over the past 3 years. Basically, NBA teams are saying, no, you know what? We understand now how difficult it is to get a star. It is practically impossible. Like, you have either have to get really, really lucky in the draft, or you have to be just the most attractive free agent destination in the entire league in order to actually attract stars.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are a team that, you know, has a star on our roster, and maybe that star wants out or whatever, we are going to squeeze the ever-living hell out of that lemon and get as much back as we possibly can. And, you know, I kind of get it. I mean, that is logical. Teams should always have done that, and teams are doing that now, and they're not taking no for an answer, and they're willing to risk that a guy is going to sit there for, you know, two or three years on his contract and basically just be pissed off.
Right.
And I think that's fair. I think that's fair. That is well within their team's rights, and I think Houston, they should be playing that game as well. There's no reason to take on, you know, what the Raptors took for Vince Carter. There is a reason to go after Ben Simmons instead of Tobias Harris. Absolutely.
Yep, totally agree there. Let's go to the other teams that Shams mentioned more. We'll start with the Miami Heat.
Right.
They do have some interesting young guys, whether it's... Uh-huh. I mean, Tyler Hero, I think, is the centerpiece, but you have Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson. They have salary filler, whether it's, you know, Andre Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk, Myers Leonard, who they just re-signed. So they can put together some semblance of a package. The issue for them is that they've already traded their 2021 and 2023 first, so the earliest they could trade is 2025.
Right.
So, and you can't trade picks more than 7 years out, and I believe their 2023 first, going to double check here, but I believe it's like top something protected. So, yeah, lottery protected in 2023, 24, and 25. So I don't even know if they are allowed to trade their 2027 pick with that in mind. So they could offer pick swaps. They can offer, you know, 2025 unprotected entirely, and then pick swaps in 22, 24, 26. But do you think a package of that, Hero, Duncan Robinson, and salary filler, does that beat Brooklyn?
I don't know if it beats Brooklyn. I think it's a conversation, because both Nunn and Robinson are up. I mean, they would have to get new contracts
right
after the end of this season right here.
Yep.
So that's also something that they need to take into account is, oh, those guys are going to cost more money. You know, right. They're on great deals right now, but next year it's going to be even more. And then what? Are you going to hand Duncan Robinson $75 million like you did Joe Harris? Like, if Joe Harris got it, why not Duncan Robinson?
Yeah, you have to be prepared to.
Right. So if you're not willing to do that, then he's going to leave, and then you're left with virtually nothing except a one-year rental. Like, Tyler Hero is the big get, but what you really have to ask yourself is, do I bank on his potential being, you know, an all-star, all-NBA caliber, or am I being more realistic? Because I think it's time we have the Tyler Hero talk, Brian.
Oh, boy.
No, I like him, and I think you do too,
mm-hmm.
but can we agree that his potential, at least on Twitter, is being perverted into degrees that it has not deserved to be?
Well, I think, you know, people are excited based on how well he played throughout the playoffs, which
right.
I understand, but...
Agreed, yes.
But at the same time, you know, I don't know how much we should or should not take away from the bubble. I think that's one of the biggest questions really hanging over the entire 2021 season is... Especially for shooters, guys like Hero, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, Duncan Robinson, how much of that was an outlier based on, you know, the not having to travel every day, being in the same gym every day, the sight lines being different than a normal NBA arena, or how much of this is going to actually carry over to, you know, this season and coming years. So if I'm Houston, I'd want to see before I say, okay, Tyler Hero is the guy that I like, the main centerpiece that I'm taking back for James Harden. Tyler Hero is really good. I would want him on my team. I think he's going to develop into a fantastic NBA player. Does he have a ceiling of James Harden? No, I don't think so. He's got the nice little step back. That's cool, but like, I don't think he's going to have the creation that James Harden ever has.
And I agree with that. So I'm not saying he's going to be a bust or anything, because clearly he's not. What I'm saying is we have to at least take it in steps. I mean, yes, he played a very, very well-rounded playoffs, and that was admittedly over a 21-game sample size, which in a playoff context is actually pretty large. That's a reasonable sample size to get excited about. But what I'm seeing is, you know, a lot of people basically say, well, you know, we wouldn't trade him unless the guy we're getting back is like an MVP candidate, where I'm just, relax, guys. Like if you have a chance at getting someone who is way more established, fits the H line of Jimmy Butler a little bit more, and basically guarantees you another finals appearance, you probably go for it. And you probably sacrifice Tyler Hero at this point. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think for the Heat, it comes down to the same question we discussed with Brooklyn, is should they want to bring in James Harden, knowing his style of play is not really aligned with how they played last year, but, you know, a top three of Jimmy Butler, James Harden, and Bam Adebayo, on paper, that makes them not only finals contenders again, but the favorites in the East, I would argue.
Oh, I would agree. And I think they're a team that could actually carry the James Harden experience. And I say that fully realizing that just 20 minutes ago, I was talking about how Jimmy and James are very, very different in personality. But the one thing that where I think it's fine is that both of them play hard on the court. I mean, we can never say that James Harden doesn't play hard. Mm-hmm. It's everything around basketball, essentially, that is concerning about Harden. So I think on the court, there would be an immediate respect level between the two. And I think it could work. For him, it's a matter of, do I buy into the Miami Heat philosophy?
Right.
Do I buy into this very team-oriented, you know, put our egos at the door kind of mentality, that when the game opens up, it doesn't matter if I get 35 or I get 15, I'm just going to do whatever is necessary. Because, like, again, and we've talked about this at length in you know, over the past year, Jimmy Butler, he was averaging, I think, 19 or 20 points over the course of the regular season, but clearly he's so much better than that if you wanted to, like, gauge him on raw stats. Like, he just decided, you know what? Certain nights, I don't need to be a scorer. I just need to be a facilitator. Let Duncan Robinson and let Tyler Hero, let Kendrick Nunn, let Bam Adebayo, let all those guys take shots. I'm just going to be playing my ass off defensively and passing. And he was cool with it. What I wonder is, would James Harden have a similar outlook?
Right. No, and I think that's the question they'll have to evaluate if they decide whether or not to get into this deal, is will he buy in to the system, or will he, you know, try to have it his way? Because I think you said it well, Jimmy Butler, there were similar questions about Jimmy Butler when he went to Miami. You know, he quote unquote forced his way out of three teams, even though that narrative was wrong, because he didn't force his way out of Chicago or Philly. But, you know, he had gone through three teams in 3 years, I think is a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
So there were, you know, questions about, okay, like, which team is a good cultural fit for him? Miami turned out to be perfect. Houston has, you know, catered to James Harden's every need for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Is he willing to go to a team that won't put up with that? As we saw, I mean, they had LeBron James and they didn't do it with him. James Harden's not getting that special treatment. Like, will he be treated differently than the 15th guy on the roster? Yes. But, will they bend over backwards to, you know, meet his every need? No.
Well, it's worse than that, Brian. Because where did James Harden start his career and spend 3 years?
OKC.
Which is an organization definitely known as being very protective of their players. Oh, you don't want to do media? Fine, we'll be complete dicks to media members for you on your part. Like, do you not want to engage in any way? Cool, fine, everyone else is an enemy. Let's hype you up and make sure that everyone else feels like a piece of, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
So, him going from that and into Houston, where they definitely catered to him, and then making the transition to Miami, like, it would have to take a mature personality to actually buy in. I think the Heat could be the right place, and I think the Heat would do everything right. What I question is whether or not James Harden would do everything right, because it doesn't really scream maturity when you go to Vegas and party with someone called Baby instead of reporting to training camp.
While not wearing a mask during a pandemic.
Right. No. And while we're at it, just not to solely put that on James Harden, let's also just mention the fact that Otto Porter did somewhat the same thing, and that was deplorable, and he needs to be he needs to be a topic of conversation as well when we're talking about these things.
I have a feeling we would be horrified to know the number of NBA players that are doing similar things. They just haven't been caught on tape yet.
Yeah. I fear that you're right. Yes.
Let's go to quickly Milwaukee, and I don't know if we have to spend too much time on them because more. Well, I don't
before
know.
Before we do, I just had this little nugget of a hot take I wanted to bring in.
Okay.
I do kind of, I like the idea of James Harden in Miami for one reason. He wouldn't be their best player. Now we can move on.
Ooh, good Lord.
No, I just believe that. I believe that thoroughly.
Just going to let that simmer for a while. But
no, I believe that so thoroughly.
As it simmers, can you come up with a package? I know James Harden named Milwaukee as a team he wants to go to. It has to be Middleton or Drew Holiday, I guess. But not Drew Holiday, because he could be a free agent next year. So it has to be Middleton. Middleton plus Dante DiVincenzo plus the draft picks they already sent to the Pelicans for Drew Holiday. Like, I just can't come up with a package that makes sense that the Rockets would be like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll do this.
No. It's because there isn't one.
Right. I mean, not only did they trade all of their picks already, I mean, they traded this year's pick, they traded 2025 and 2027 unprotected firsts, and then 2024 and 2026 pick swaps. So they could trade 2021 and 2023, I guess. No, they owe 2022 to Cleveland. They can't trade a single first round pick. They could trade pick swaps. That's it.
Yep. Well, and look, let's also remember that Giannis likes players who passes.
I mean, James Harden passes occasionally. Like, he racks up assists.
No. Remember, that's what he said during the All-Star
draft. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, boy. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's beef between those two. That's why it was surprising that team, the Bucks, came in and as like a candidate.
I mean, it sounds like it's more James Harden just wants to go to a contender, and he just named contenders more than he actually pondered. So, we agree, Milwaukee, they can be mentioned in the running, but they made their move with Holiday.
Oh, of course they did. They have no chance unless it's Giannis or, Middleton and... No, not even Middleton. You know what? It's Giannis. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really it.
I guess that's an interesting question. If Giannis doesn't sign the Supermax.
No.
You wouldn't do it?
I mean, look, they've already said that they wouldn't trade him whatsoever. So that's the assumption I'm operating under. Like, would I do it if I knew that I would lose Giannis Antetokounmpo? Of course. But they've said repeatedly they wouldn't do it. So that's kind of where we're at.
I think that would be a fun challenge trade. I don't think either side actually does it. but it would be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, because let's face it, Giannis would definitely leave. I think Houston does it because it's Giannis, but he would definitely leave. Like, I cannot imagine a scenario where he would stay under Tillman Fertitta. I just can't.
Yeah, right. He's already used to having cheap owners.
Right.
All right, so let's move on. So these are the four teams he has named. Brooklyn, Philly, Miami, and Milwaukee for some reason. What other teams do you think should at least poke around here?
So I know that you sent me an outline with a couple teams, but I'm just going to say no to Boston. I don't think the Celtics should sniff around.
Okay.
So, again, and I understand what James Harden is. I truly do. I think he is better than Jaylen Brown. He definitely is, but I would rather have Jaylen Brown because of the age curve that he's on alongside Jason Tatum. I think the Celtics have toyed around enough with the whole, let's try to win now with players in their 30s while still, you know, giving huge roles to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum thing. I think it's done now. Now, I think from here on out, if they want, you know, players to pair with those two, I think you have to make a better effort at aligning them age-wise just a little bit. Because eventually, you know, those guys are going to drop off and then it's only going to fall back on Tatum and Brown, and I don't think that's clever. If I'm Boston, I'm basically just saying, nope, not getting into that mess. I'm just not. Also because it was just hindered Tatum's development in particular, I think. And I don't see why you would do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, Boston, I think, can put together an interesting package. I mean, it would Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and whatever filler you need, whether it's picks or, I mean, they have a bunch of guys who they've taken in the first round, you know, Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith, Grant Williams,
right.
Romeo Langford. Like, they have a bunch of lottery ticket type players. So,
right.
You know, I think more than Milwaukee, they could definitely put together a better package than the Bucks. But yeah, I mean, I think as much fun as I make of Danny Ainge and will continue to make of Danny Ainge, like, what is the most valuable currency in the NBA today? I feel like it's wings, like two-way wings.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, when you have a Jaylen Brown and a Jason Tatum locked up, Jaylen Brown not even on a max deal.
Right.
Like, I don't see why you would rush to trade either one unless it was, like, such a sure thing layup. You know, I wouldn't do it either if I'm Boston. I think they could, but I just have faith that, you know, Brown and Tatum, they're still so young that they've already been to two Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I think you can tinker around the edges and probably get this team to a final sooner than later as is.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That's also why I said what I did about the Heat. Like, he would be the second best player there. I think defense matters a lot, especially at the wing slot. I think when you have a guy who can be an elite defender, who can also handle the basketball, who can also create, you know, jump shots and scoring opportunities for yourself and others, like, it's fine. Then you don't need the James Harden occupying, you know, 38 minutes per game, the entire offense, like, type of player. I don't think you need that. I would much rather have, you know, I would much rather sacrifice the points, or a large portion of the points, if it meant I got a more well-rounded game that included the teammates a little bit more as well.
What about the Warriors?
Now, see, that one I do. That one I think would be interesting. So you brought up in the outline you sent me Wiggins plus James Wiseman plus the 2021 Minnesota pick plus filler. Yes, I would do that. And I would do that under, you know, the sad circumstances of Clay. Had Clay been healthy, I wouldn't have, because I think that's just a winning formula. But look, I mean, an ACL tear followed by an Achilles. I think it's, God, I hate saying this, but I think it's fair to say that it would take a lot for Clay to ever return to you know, what he used to be. Like, defensively, he'll never be the same, I fear. I hope I'm wrong.
It would be completely unprecedented based on NBA history so far for this not to have been, like, you know, for us to have not seen the best of Klay Thompson already.
Exactly. Like, the diagnosis here, or the long-term prognosis just doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I would do it. Just get James Harden in there. Let him work it out with Steph and let those two guys combine for what? God, 60 points a game. Good Lord, they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
If not more. And then just kind of take it from there. Kelly Oubre would be like the third offensive wheel. And then Draymond would be the defensive anchor as he used to be. It wouldn't be the same Warriors and it would feel a little bit dirty in a way. But no, I would do that because it fits age wise as well. Like, that team would definitely be someone you don't want to meet in the playoffs. And I think it's because you know the Warriors are so good at allowing players in with huge usage rates and you kind of work around that, I think it would work.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I want it to happen just for the hilarity, because there are few players in the NBA, if any, that Warriors fans dislike more than James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
So for them to have to now cheer for James Harden, it would be spectacular.
It would be fantastic, yes.
We saw a version of that with Russ going to Houston and just a ton of Houston fans having to delete all their bad tweets about Russ, and even to a lesser extent, Al Horford to Philly, given his experience in Boston. And both of those worked out terribly. So I don't know. My question with the Warriors package, I mean, isn't, like, they got Wiggins and the 2021 Minnesota pick for D'Angelo Russell, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is Wiseman really the upgrade going from D'Angelo Russell to James Harden? Like,
No.
Right? Like, you're going to have to add a ton of picks as well.
Correct. When you said filler, you said plus filler, and filler for me was like a, you know, virtually all their draft picks and pick swaps.
Yeah, but they already owe a 1 through 20 to OKC this year, and then they owe a top 4 to Memphis in 2024. So they can't trade any picks until 2026. They could do pick swaps, but they can't trade any firsts.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Just give up what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've
which is not...
Yeah, they've traded a lot of their seconds. They owe all but...
Oh, God. 22. There's something we haven't thought about, and I hate it, but it would make sense. Let me just look up the contracts. Give me a second, because you could do something else to sweeten that pot.
Does it involve Klay going there as well?
No.
To get off of his contract?
No, it involves shipping off Kelly Oubre in that deal as well and taking on Eric Gordon.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think, just off the top of my head, with Wiseman included, I would guess that would be legal.
I know, but it's just taking on Eric Gordon at this point.
Yeah.
It's also... like, but you know what? That's something we haven't talked about. Maybe that's a necessity in whatever James Harden trade we're talking about. I wouldn't even be shocked if Houston goes, yes. So our number one priority here
is dump
Eric Gordon this trade as well. Yeah. You have to be willing to take on Eric Gordon because we were so dumb to luck him up to this contract.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the greatest troll job in the history of the planet by Daryl Morey. If he intended to just
just burn it down and then walk away.
Yeah.
Oh man, I just hope he doesn't do the same to Philly in a couple of years. But yeah, it's he certainly left his mark on the way out of Houston. That's for sure.
Right, but I mean that would definitely sweeten the pot. Here we're gonna give you Kelly Oubre, and then we'll take on Eric Gordon instead.
That is true. I mean, yeah, if nothing else, that should decrease what you have to send back. If you're taking on Eric Gordon in a James Harden trade,
right,
that lowers what you have to send back to Houston because Gordon is such a negative asset.
I think we have a trade there, Bri. So far, that's the one I like the most.
Okay. So I want to go into a couple other teams. Mm-hmm. And these are, because we went through, you know, a ton of contenders or hopeful title hopefuls at least. But Houston doesn't have to trade him to one of his preferred teams. I mean, right, he will naturally threaten to opt out in 2022 and walk away. So that might deter bad teams or rebuilding teams from giving up a ton. Right. But there are a couple of rebuilding teams. Like, let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I sent this to you and you're like, why did you include them? And I wouldn't have had I not seen an article on Twitter this morning from Joe Varden of The Athletic where he makes a case for them, not only why they could, but why they should trade for James Harden. And, you know, if you look at the Cavaliers, they have some combination of Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, Kevin Porter Jr. They have some picks. They can, you know, they've got the salary filler with Love if you want to, right, if Houston wanted someone who they know is going to be there long term, or Andre Drummond, who's on an expiring contract. And, you know, it's rough out there. You got to save Tillman some money in future years. So, you know, they have things to offer.
Yes.
Do you think they should offer said things for James Harden to speed this rebuild up?
I honestly couldn't care less. Whatever direction they want to go in. So here's my perspective of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. I like Colin Sexton. I like Isaac Okoro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kevin Porter Jr. is interesting.
He is. He, interesting is the right word. But, I mean, this team is just in such a weird place. If Okoro comes in and actually provides them with some balance, because good lord, they need a defense, and I still think they do. And if the Sexton-Garland backcourt actually starts working out, okay, then I would actually be intrigued enough to just say, let's hold off on trading for a 31-year-old superstar. Let's just instead see what we have here. But at the same time, I understand it. Like, it's Cleveland. Like, mm-hmm, you will probably never have that type of talent like James Harden unless you draft that player. Again, like, if you hit for a LeBron James in the draft.
Right.
Again, which, let's be honest, I don't think that's in the cards unless they really suck and they can get like a Cade Cunningham next year.
Well, and that's what Varden's argument was. You know, he says, like, look, this would be a huge departure from their long-term rebuilding plan, but when over the coming decades is Cleveland going to have a realistic shot at a player of Harden's skills and stature? Is the next Harden out there in the next several drafts? Are the Cavs going to have the chance to pick him? Or is something going to change with the climate, the politics, and the taxes in Ohio to make Cleveland a more attractive free agent destination? Yeah. No, most likely not. Unless, I mean, there's always a chance that Cleveland, as you said, lucks out, jumps in the lottery, and gets a guy like Cade Cunningham. But it's unlikely to, I mean, even if they have a bottom three record, it's still only a 14% chance. You're not building your team around a 14% chance. So
what's the worst a team can get in the lottery now? If you finish with the worst record, what's the worst? Is it 4 or 5? I don't remember.
Five. It's okay. Five now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it difficult because next year's draft, you know, there will be 5 very good players there, but there's definitely like a top 1, 2, 3 there. So you would preferably want to go into like the top 3. So even if you tank the entire year, there's still that panic factor of, oh god, we might fall outside the top 3.
And no team is out tanking OKC this year.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, yeah, I think, is Cleveland a playoff team this year? Probably not.
No,
going to end up in the mid to late lottery more likely. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I admire this, Joe Martin, to his credit, laid out a convincing argument why they should do it. I don't necessarily agree, because I think it's pretty safe to say James Harden is packing his bags as soon as July 1st, 2022 rolls around, hoping we are back on a normal schedule by then.
Right.
Yeah, he's out of there. So is it worth 2 years to give up God knows what? Probably not, but that just comes down to how much Houston wants in return. Like, if you're giving up draft picks in 2027 or 2026 to get James Harden, definitely not, because he's going to leave your team in ruins when he leaves. But, you know, if it's just some combination of the young guys who you've drafted in recent years, Chetty Osmond, I didn't even mention him. You know, if it's just some combination of them and you don't feel particularly married to any of them as, like, we know this guy is a long-term centerpiece, then I could see why they would do it. I don't think they would or should, but, you know, I bad teams after a while get really desperate. I think that is something to remember.
I think what it would really behoove the Cavaliers is that they, as an organization, just buys a strip club somewhere.
Really, for any team that's interested in James Harden. And that actually brings me to the next team. And this is a team that's not, or that was bad last year. We think it's going to be a lot better this year. The Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, Strip City. Okay.
Yeah. I cannot think of a better city player fit for James Harden than Atlanta.
You know, while we're up on the subject, and I really hate to just pivot into this, but I just have to ask.
Oh, boy.
What's so exciting about a strip club?
You know, I don't, especially for someone who's making that type of money.
Right.
I don't know, but at the same time, I'm guessing he gets a little bit different treatment at a strip club than a normal person.
Oh, okay.
Like us.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything more. Yeah, no, right. I hear you.
So, okay. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, when you've got $200 million and nowhere else to spend it, like, you know.
Well, that's the thing, because if you just like the striptease part, he could just take out his Amex and go to, like, any old, like, you know, webcam thing.
Right.
Buy a subscription. I have to assume those things exist. And just, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I think he's probably getting a little more than just
I have to assume so. Yeah, because I'm not really getting the appeal there.
Yeah.
All right.
Either way, he'll have plenty of options if he went to Atlanta.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that is a very player-friendly city, even if we ignore the strip club scene. I mean, that is so many players have houses there, live there during the summer. You know, it's an attracting place to be, which is always why I kind of wondered why the Hawks really, at least in years prior, weren't a bigger destination. That always worried me a little bit. Like, that really meant that Danny Ferry was not an attractive piece to that organization, right? But no, I wouldn't do it, by the way. Like, if I'm the Hawks, no, I just would not do it. Right now, I have a young point guard in Trae Young who is basically doing James Harden things, not to the same extent because he's not James Harden, but, I mean, this is a guy who's putting up 30 and 10 and is very young and needs his touches and is going to presumably be very comparable to James Harden in a couple of years, if not already. So I just don't see why I would want two of them. That kind of diminishes Young's potential and development. And not just him. Like, they have a ton of young guys, and I realize that some of them would be going out in a trade for Harden, but I just I don't see the appeal.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered them, you know, after the offseason especially, and we said, like, look, the Hawks need to be mentioned anytime a star trade comes up because they have the right combination now of prospects: John Collins, Kevin Herter, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Addish. They just got Ogunquu with the 6th pick this year. They now have salary filler, Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Clint Capella. They can assemble a better package, I would argue, than Brooklyn, Miami, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you can't beat a Simmons package in Philly. You can't beat Brown and Smart from Boston. You can outbid any other team.
Yeah.
So,
no, I agree. Like, but should
they have the ammo? Yeah, right. But should, and I'm with you. I mean, as good as they would be, or they could be, offensively, a Trae Young, James Harden backcourt defensively be a catastrophe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So you know what? Let me play devil's advocate just to the defense.
Yeah.
Does that matter if you are combining for what, 65 points a game?
Yeah, 65 points and like 15 to 20 assists.
Yeah. Does that then matter? Like, because you're clearly going to be outproducing your direct, your direct opponent.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it probably not, but I wouldn't want to be the team that put that to the test.
No, and that's why I agree with you. Look, just 25 minutes ago, I was talking about wings, defensive oriented wings, two way wings. Mm-hmm. I would always prefer that over one way players, definitely. But I'm just saying, especially in the East, you know, having two guys who could give you 30 to 35 points and 10 assists, while also giving you like 4 to 5 threes, both every mm-hmm. game, like. Good luck trying to match that. Like, oh, we found a weakness defensively. Is sure, but then they'll give you 17 points in 2 minutes.
Right. I think it comes down to similarly to what we were talking about with Brooklyn. Do we think Trae Young would be happy sharing that many touches with James Harden and vice versa? Like, is James Harden willing to take a step back on a night when they say
no?
You know, we're like Trae Young's got it cooking. We're willing to let him go. I don't know.
I don't think so. Not to the same extent. I mean, so when Houston went small, here's the thing. So James Harden does like to pass. He likes to rack up assists, which does, you know, somewhat say that, oh, he might be inclined to be, you know, he might be inclined to share the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also note that during the 57 games Russell Westbrook played with the Rockets, he did take 22.5 shots per game. So there is, you could argue there is a precedence of basically him saying, oh yeah, I can live with someone like that. But Russell Westbrook played a different brand of basketball. He was essentially, especially after the move Capella, he was like a 6'3" power forward in the way that he was used. Right. Like, he was not used with the ball in his hands that much. It was more so him cutting, him setting weird, you know, down screens. It was him doing a ton of different things. I don't know if that would work with Trae Young, who's more of a finesse player, more of a shooter, someone who needs to see the play develop a little bit more, someone who isn't that just hell-bent and getting to the basket from 0 to 60 at 2 seconds. Like, it's a different brand of basketball. Like, Do you think that Harden in a half court setting would be as inclined to share the ball, whereas with Russell Westbrook, who's got the Jets going and like is a transition player, yeah, you can kind of live with, oh, I see him leaking down the floor, let me just mm-hmm. go get an assist, here you go, Russ. But like in a half court setting when he loves to dribble and just basically squeeze the air out of the ball, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It's, you know, I think the Hawks are going to be involved in a lot of trade talks in mm-hmm. future years. I don't know that this is the right one to pull the trigger on. I think if anything, they're probably going to want, if they are going to cash in on this many guys,
right,
they're going to want someone who's more aligned age-wise with Trae Young and probably less overlapping. Like, I think, you know, I think ideally if Karl Anthony Towns ever becomes available from Minnesota,
yeah,
that's the one where you cash in everything.
Yeah, totally agree. That is definitely the one thing that you could argue. I mean, okay, defensively, once again, might not be pretty, but a Trae Young, Karl Anthony Towns duo just taking up the majority of the shots, and you have Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter just running around defensively and hitting open shots, hell yeah.
Yeah, or even, I mean, God forbid, Joel Embiid, if he becomes available.
Him too. Him too. He's in that same age group. Like, that would fit. Yeah.
Yeah. The last team I wanted to mention more is the New York Knicks.
Everyone.
They do have...
Everyone.
They do have young guys. Again, this is kind of similar to Cleveland, where it's like... Oh my
God, just stop arguing. You know where I'm going here. Everyone. Yeah, you know what your question's going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think they should go after Harden? Ah, this is where it gets tricky.
Yeah, it really is, because you know what? For once, I actually like what they did for a summer. I mean, they didn't panic. So does that mean they're on the cusp of doing something good? Are we just being led into this false sense of security with the Knicks again? Right. And next year, they're going to be weird. No, with the Knicks, you know what? I'm going to be all in. Just go for Harden. You need something. Like, get some seats in the Garden. Get fans excited. Good Lord. I mean, Knicks fans deserve a superstar. They really do. I mean, it's been such a rough two decades. Give them James Harden and just let them have fun with him scoring 55 and 60 points in the Garden. I know they can't attend the games, but they can watch on TV. Mm-hmm. Just yeah, go for it. Why the hell not? Like, look, they tried to go for a star for like three summers in a row, and they failed miserably. Just why not? If that trade is there, go for it. Then you finally have one, and who knows? Look, hell, the Lakers kind of fell, you know, ass backwards into a championship because they somehow got LeBron after years of incompetence. If the Knicks gets, you know, Harden here, and maybe someone else goes, well, if James Harden is there, I'll you know, gamble. I'll sign there. You know, maybe, who knows, in a couple of years, they could be like the fourth seed in the East.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have a ton of financial flexibility next offseason, barring a Harden trade. Like, possibly to the extent, especially if they waive Julius Randle, who only has a small portion of his contract guaranteed.
Yeah.
They could be in line to get two max guys. So you could trade for Harden now. And I know the free agent class is thinning out next summer, but
right.
Like, you could still a James Harden Rudy Gobert pairing or something like that, or a James Harden Victor Oladipo probably doesn't make a ton of sense, but James Harden Drew Holiday, where, you know, I think the dream obviously would be, all right, James Harden wants to go to Milwaukee, let's trade for James Harden now and have Giannis come to us next summer.
I hear you, like, just basically opening up the some possibilities. Yes. And by the way, just I realize that you and I are coming off a little bit, we're confusing Knicks fans right now, because what we've been saying for years, we've been saying don't trade for established talent, just rebuild the proper way. And then finally, when they have an off season where they do just that, we're going, hey, blow it up. That does sound a little bit counterintuitive to what we used to be, you know, saying, but I think this is different. This is James Harden.
Right. It's not you're trading for a fringe all-star. This is you're trading for an MVP.
Yeah.
A guy who has been in the top three MVP finishers in what, like, four of the last 5 years or each of the last 5 years? Like,
yeah.
This guy is an absolute, despite all of his off-court distraction issues, bona fide superstar. And like, the Knicks have not only all of their first round picks, but they have the 2021 and 2023 pick from Dallas. They have a bunch of young guys. RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson are the two best ones, but, you know, Frankie Smokes is there, Kevin Knox, they just got Obi Toppin as well. They have some young talent that they could dangle, that, and as you said, just go call up Houston and be like, we don't care, whoever you want.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, we would keep Mitchell Robinson, but if you want him and we get James Harden, that's fine.
Yeah,
exactly. And then see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, I think, as you said, they've struck out in free agency a couple years in a row now. Unless some of these young guys hit, they're not going to get the star free agent. It's not like, you know, LeBron chose the Lakers not only because he wanted his family to go there and, like, he quote-unquote believed in the young guys. Like, he knew the young guys had enough potential at least to be flipped later down the line for a superstar, which is what ended up happening a year later.
Yeah.
And like, unless a free agent has similar convictions about these Knicks prospects, they're not going to ever get that first star. So it might have to be you trade these guys for that first star. Like, you work backwards. You do the exact opposite of what the Lakers did. You trade for the first star and then sign the second one. So sign exactly. The first one, trade for the second one.
Yeah. And now I'm going to enter a topic into a topic that we haven't broached before, but I think we might have to. So combined in terms of regular season and playoffs, James Harden has played over 33,000 minutes. Hmm. How long more has he got?
That is a fair question that any team that's at least considering trading for him has to ask themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where I come back to with Philly as well. Not only, you know, can James Harden and Joel Embiid coexist, but it's like, all right, we know James Harden right now is in his prime, just an absolute unstoppable scorer.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's safe to say Ben Simmons is clearly on an upward trajectory. Mm-hmm. Has James Harden already hit his peak? And, like, maybe he stays there for a few years. I mean,
he's definitely, you know, hit his peak. Like,
right. So, like, is he going to start declining at some point soon? Or, you know, if he stays there for the next 2 or 3 years, it's not a concern. Or it's not as much of a concern.
Yeah, see, but I was going to say it's a concern, but it might not be a huge concern. But, like, let's say it's 2 years. 2 years can go by awfully quick. At least as long as it's not 2020, which feels like it's been 7 years. Right. No, but I'm looking it over. I'm sitting here with this profile open. I'm just kind of, it's just hitting me. Like, this is a guy who's played over 800 games just in the regular season alone. Let me just scroll down and see what we're at in the playoffs. It has to be over 100. Yeah, 128. So, I mean, those games are adding up. I mean, that's almost 1,000 right there. And then the 33,000 minutes plus the usage rate. Like, we shouldn't forget about that. One thing is the minutes, another is the games, but him, you know, spending so much time dribbling, being the sole offensive lead, being this guy, you know, the guy over and over and over again. Like, over the past 8 years, those are the years he's been in Houston, he's averaged over 37 minutes per game. And he's done everything. He's averaged over that 8-season stretch 29.6 points, 7.7 assists, 6 rebounds. He's gotten to the line 10.4 times per game. He's taken over 9 threes per game and almost 20 shot attempts per game over the past 8 years. Like, I don't need to tell you, that's going to do not great things to your knees and your entire lower body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Like, that's, I do wonder if this is something, like you just said, like, if this is something teams are also thinking about, going, a 31-year-old with 33,000 minutes on his name and that usage rate, maybe we should just let this one fly by. Like, maybe this is one we don't necessarily need to get involved in.
Yeah, I mean, if that's not something they're thinking about, they should be.
Right.
Like, given the haul you're going to have to give up to get him, you better be considering this from every possible angle. Again, yep. Not just, this is 2K, we know what his skill set is, but yes, is his lifestyle on and off the court conducive to him maintaining this level of dominance for not only the rest of his current contract, but you're not trading him to watch him walk in 2022. Like, you want him on your team for the rest of his career.
Right,
so
right.
How much longer do you think his peak can be? Are you going to be in a position in 2022 where you're going to have to give him the 35% max for 5 years? Do you think he's going to be worth that price?
He's not. Right. I feel confident in saying that now because of, you know, what he's gone through so much. Look, we can't just keep looking at LeBron and go, oh, that's the new norm. Like, what LeBron is doing is ridiculous.
He's the only player who's on that type of a contract who's continued to return positive value.
Exactly. Like, he's going to turn 36 this month. 36! Right. It's it's utterly ridiculous. And I don't think we can apply that logic to other players necessarily.
No, I don't either.
Okay. So what, well, do we now go back and redo every single team with the mindset of, oh, remember he's old?
No. I mean, I think we brought it up for Philly, and I think every other team should be considering it as well, especially these rebuilding teams where it's like, does this guy make sense with our timeline when most of our guys
then he should go to the Hornets.
Him and Gordon Hayward can just live out the remaining 2 years of their primes together.
Yeah. I actually think I pitched this on one of the earlier episodes. I just want those two to play together in Charlotte under the Jordan brand. Like, have fun. Doesn't matter. We can just totally ignore them. It's fine.
Well, on that note, we will wrap up there. So thank you all, as always, for listening. Please check us out on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We are being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. We recorded this live on the Locker Room app, so those of you on iOS devices, please download the Locker Room app. You can come hang out, listen to us record live. You can ask us questions, even come up to the stage and speak. So again, that is the Locker Room app on iOS. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Mort, the awards pod is coming soon. Get ready.
Oh, I already am. And I am fully intending on boycotting the Sixth Man of the Year award again.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Later, man. Don't die.